This is John Henshaw with Koi Wolf, and I am talking with Dries, and I'm going to destroy the last name. It looks like Deporter, but I know it's not. And I'm also talking with David, and I'm going to destroy his last name too. It looks like Surprenant, but it's French, which means I completely destroyed that name too. So
but it's perfect.
No, it isn't. Dries, tell me how to pronounce your last name.
Yeah, actually, the pronounce you did a really good job. It's Dries de Porter. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds better when you say it. That's what it is. And then David,
roll your R.
right. Yeah, roll the R. And then David, how do you pronounce your last name?
Surprenant.
Okay. There. All right. I feel like I was kind of close in my. My sad English only speaking way. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for joining me. Dries, you're I think in Belgium, and David, where are you in Canada right now?
In Montreal, near Montreal.
Yep. Well, yeah, thanks for being here, and what kind of brought us together today was this app that you collaborated on called Die With Me. Before we get into that, I kind of wanted to give a little background. I know a little more about you, Dries, and real quick, for those who are listening, Dries is a Belgium artist that handles themes around privacy, artificial intelligence, surveillance, and social media, and he creates interactive installations, apps, and games. With Die With Me being one of those. He's also a speaker and does freelance concept provider focused work around digital. And then David, I know that you're a developer. Is there and obviously an iOS developer because of Die With Me? Are there other things that you do and you work on?
I'm more kind of a creative technologist, actually.
Oh, okay.
I've collaborated with this on others project that we won an international contest in collaboration with ITFADA Club, NFB, and Arte. That's in Europe.
So
basically, I'm a developer.
Right. So you're a developer, but you get to do really interesting things.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like before meeting Dries, I've worked a lot with the mobile and interactivity. I was doing a projection, and a user were user asked to use their cell phones to play with the projections and play with the artistic piece, actually.
So it sounds like you are also, you know, an artist in your own right with technology. I mean, it kind of sounds like it. No.
I'm more the technical guy, but
okay.
Yes,
so
I
you
have
are. So
you're ideas, just... but I'm okay. Just more technical.
Yeah, and for those listening, the reason for my ignorance on David is because I originally reached out to Dries, and he was like, "Hey, why don't we have David on?" And so, forgive me for not doing my research on you.
No worry, I don't have a lot of me posted on the internet, actually.
Okay.
I've done a lot of projects with other companies, but they're not like online art.
That sounds good.
Just a discovery here in Montreal.
And so, how did the two of you? I'll just say, you know, find each other. I mean, as far as how did you come about collaborating on projects like this?
Do you want me to talk about it or David? Sorry.
Both.
I want one of you, just not at the same time.
Go ahead, Dries.
Yeah, so I think me and David met each other on a festival in Copenhagen. It was a festival called Trailer Park Festival, and we were both part of an exhibition of a music festival. And we were, we had some days to set up. We didn't know each other, but then during the festival, we met each other. And at the time, I had this idea of Die With Me, and I talked to David, and then basically we started to work on this idea.
It's a bit like you say, John, at the beginning. He got the idea. Just tell me what, like this stupid idea. And I was like, okay, wow, I need to try it. And I really went to my side. Like, he didn't really ask me, like, can you do it? And I just like send it to him one day, and he was like, wow, okay.
Oh, you just started working on it?
Yeah, just like this. And he, like, I just give it to him, and he was okay, wow. And after that, we push it to a creator named Casper. He's from Itfada Club in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And this guy was so in love with the project that he invited us to his festival to present that project.
Wow, that just kind of happened kind of quickly. So,
and actually, when we present that project at that place, at Itfada Club, we discovered that it will be a hit. That was sure, like in our head, that will be a hit. And we just push, and yeah.
So the thing that we would learn from all of this is that whenever you go to festivals, tell everybody about your crazy ideas.
yes.
and you might meet the right person, and it might actually happen.
Yes.
Yeah, but actually, at the time, it was a work in process. So it was not in the App Store, and we give it away for the audience. But I was like super afraid. This is like a new idea that someone will copy it. But luckily, it didn't happen. It was for like, I don't know how many people were there, like 200 people or something.
Yeah.
But for us, it was like a special moment because we saw like people reacting for the first time. We talked for the first time about Die With Me. And that was nice to see for us.
And well, it's funny because the project was sleeping for a 7 months, actually. Mm-hmm. We did it like in the spring, and like we were not able to find like how we will launch it, how we will make money with this. Then we just decided to, okay, like, let's see what happened with this. And it was sleeping on my computer for at least like 7 months. Mm-hmm. Until a festival like came back and asked us to present that project.
So have David, I'm curious to know, have you done projects like this before? Because I know Dries has, and we're going to get into some of the things that he's created. I'm just curious to know, was this sort of a new type of thing for you?
Well, no, I already did some interesting website that was kind of a real-time communication, real-time interactivity, I mean. And they won kind of website of the days or those kind of recognition, but not as big as that with me. That was my biggest project, actually.
Okay. So for those who are listening, you might be asking yourself, what is Die With Me and what are they talking about, since I didn't describe it yet. So I'm going to go ahead and describe it. It is an app that you can get for your Apple phone, for iPhone. And basically,
for Android.
Oh, it does work for Android too. Okay. So
yes.
Android and iPhone. And the way it works is when your battery hits 5% and then you're
less than 5%.
Oh, less than 5%, and you're going to be close to dying. You can actually open this up and you can chat with basically anybody else who's using the app who is in the same dire straits as you are, and therefore you can say whatever it is you need to say, and you usually only have a few minutes to do it before one of you or both of you dies. And so Dries, how exactly did you come up with that idea?
Okay. Yeah, so actually I was in Copenhagen, and actually I had this idea to make an app that you can only use when you have less than 5% battery. That came into me because I was walking in Copenhagen and I didn't found my hotel back. And I felt like really like dependent on technology. I didn't know the name of the hotel. I was totally lost, and that was like quite inspiring. And then I had this idea, like, okay, I need to do something with this. And then I just had the idea, okay, an app that you can only use when you have less than 5% battery. But I was not sure what the app can do. Is it like a game or something? And then it took me like a few days to, okay, it's probably the most interesting when it's a chat app, when you can only use when you have less than 5% battery and chat to other people with a low battery. So first was the idea, like the low battery, and then came the chat room. And then I start, explain to David then.
So it, It's interesting because I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, at heart you're an artist, and you are making things that I assume are meant for people to have certain experiences and to evoke certain things. And so even just as you were describing it, and as I've thought about it before, it's kind of along the lines of sort of that last gasp of online connection with somebody, or that last ability to get help from the place that you always depend on before it's all gone. Before you're completely disconnected from this world that not my generation, but the, you know, younger generations have become completely dependent on. I mean, is that kind of what you're going after?
Oh yeah, and I think it's quite poetic, the app itself, and I think like a lot of people experience this problem, like having a low battery in a difficult situation, or so that was I think the starting point. And for me, it's important, like in everything what I'm doing, like it's an original idea, or it's something new, it's something fresh, and that was. I never saw something in the Apple App Store. And at the time, I remember I was quite frustrated about people saying me like, okay, there's already an app for that and everything is already done. And that was also like a motivation of me to prove that you can come up with new ideas even. Die With Me was something else, I guess.
Yeah. And David, you know, you talked about how you had did a project before that was this real-time chat. I mean, it sounds like...
What I was doing was more real-time heart. For example, you are on a website and then the person are on the same website, but you can connect your mobile and do interaction with the website and the other one can do the same things.
I see. Well, but it does sound like the two of you were a good fit, particularly for this project. I mean, you kind of had different interests, different technology experience in regards to what people are doing. What was it like working together on this?
So sorry, can you repeat, please?
What was it like working together on this particular project?
But it's a mix of multiple talent, huh? It's the art vision, this vision that this has, it's super important, I think, and it's helped a lot to create a better product, understand the people, the creativity actually helps a lot to the technical.
For me, it was important. I never made an app or, and normally investigate, put some time in like make, put some time in, and making it, but I really wanted to do it in a good way because I was hoping for a success. And so, I reached out to David because I know he had some experience.
But actually, that was our third project together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was your third project? Is that what you said?
Yes.
So what were the first two?
Just after we met at Copenhagen, we worked on a project together. It's called a Cloud Messenger. It was a installation in a museum. It was a kind of a cloud where you go inside the cloud, where the participant go inside the cloud. It will speak, you will say a little message, and after this message will go in the space, and with the wind of the earth, the message will just take the wind and float on the space and follow the wind.
Cool. Okay.
And if you're under a cloud, if you're under a message, like you open your cell phone, you see all the message around the world. If you're under one of those messages, you can listen that message.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that you can listen a message. It's being under the message.
Mm-hmm. It used real-time wind data. So it was like a virtual audio message going all over the world, but based on, real-time wind data.
So, Adrice, you said you had never made an app before. Obviously, David, you have. I remember reading, I think it was either on Vice or TechCrunch or something like that, where you talked about how it was actually a little difficult, I think, working with Apple, or they were very, I don't know, this might be overstating.
The timing was bad for my app because of the stories of Apple and their battery.
Oh, you, that's when it happened. You were doing it around that same time, because that was about 2 years ago.
It was an accident, actually. It was really not planned. And like the day we were ready to launch, like it came out of the news, Apple with their battery, and yeah, it was.
So it's like you're poking them in the side, you know, at the time.
Yeah, it was just timing.
And so, what kind of grief did they give you?
They just, the thing is, we decided to launch one version of the application early in the process to be sure that, okay, like Apple kind of accept our app, and you know, we are on the App Store, and we knew that the next update will, the process of reviewing will be less less hard, because the first time you release an application, the reviewing time is super long. It took like 1 month that they open our app and decide if they want it on the App Store or not. And yeah, we just released a alpha version, and that alpha version got accepted. And when we wanted to release our final version for iOS, they started to reject it because they found our application useless.
Oh, so it worked fine. It didn't necessarily go against their policies in general. They just thought it was a useless app.
Exactly. And we were like kind of fighting with them, like, hey guys, a lot of person of waiting are waiting for your app, like it will work. We're like, a lot of person wants to talk about our app, and we don't believe, you need to do something else. No, that doesn't work.
So
it's in their guideline 4.2. It's like the main reason was always minimum functionality.
Exactly.
We always got this feedback that actually I have a sentence before me, in front of me. Their feedback was that the usefulness of your app is still limited by the minimal amount of content or features it includes. So that was always the feedback that they rejected our app in the Apple App Store.
But what they really meant to say was, makes us look bad.
Oh yeah.
that's the secret, you know, item 4.8.3 makes Apple look bad.
Yes.
But actually at the time then it was super frustrated. Me and David were really frustrated about, and they rejected us all the time, and we like tried a lot of different things. So at a certain point, we tried in like internet radios, small games inside, like to have like some functionality. But yeah, that already killed a bit the concept. We really wanted to launch this app that you can't use when you have less than 5% battery. But it was a long way for us.
Well, it's interesting because not that I necessarily want to go down, you know, or go off on this tangent, but when you are dealing with a platform that is closed and completely controlled, I mean, it's interesting to me because of the stuff, Dries, that you do around privacy and sort of how companies do certain things on the internet. You're essentially beholden to a, you know, Apple in particular, who likes to control everything, put everything behind the wall, approve all the things and that type of thing. And so here you are, this artist who makes these type of things to bring attention to it, and you're being completely denied, you know, by the platform you're trying to bring attention to. I mean, it's kind of a perfect mix.
And also, and, like, it's totally the opposite for Android. Android doesn't ask any question. You just push your project and it's live. It's the community who will like rate your things, and
yeah, you definitely have more flexibility on with Android and in that world. Although that, I think, you know, Google's trying to kind of rein things in there too. I will say, just to be fair, out of all the giant monopolistic conglomerates, you know, Apple, even though I think it's probably more from a marketing perspective to differentiate themselves, they are better at privacy. I mean, just to, you know, but still at the same time, it's fascinating to me that, based on the timing, other issues with batteries and when you were, you know, trying to push this and the fact that you kept on getting denied because, you know, they're saying, oh, this has no utility, it has no use, that you had to go through that. I think this is something that plenty of other people have had to deal with in some form or fashion. I don't mean making this specific app for Apple, but I mean, when you have this idea and you create it and you're excited about it and it's actually functioning, and then people start putting roadblocks in front of you for whatever reason, because maybe it somehow goes against their own interests. It sounds like you didn't give up. Neither of you gave up, and you even tried to find other ways around getting into it by adding other functionality. I mean, what kind of experience and advice would you give people who are listening right now, particularly people who are from an entrepreneurial background, who are trying to make something and they keep on having walls put in front of them, as far as not giving up and sort of how did you deal with that?
I'm not a really great motivation speaker, but I think we didn't give up. We really believed in the idea. We put so much time already in this, and it was super frustrated, but we tried a lot of things, and there's a lot of artists having the same experience, and I reached out to them also, like, hey, how did you push through? And surrounded me with other people, and me and David, like, all that, we heard through a lot of stories. We did a little research about how all the process go into, but we just continue working on this because we believed in it. I don't know if David have to say something.
Exactly like you, and it's belief. First, believe in your things. Always believe in your things. It's the most important things in the world. And yeah.
And I guess just persistence. Don't give up.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're sure about your things, for sure it will work. For sure. If your motivation is there, if all your energy is well placed, it has no way to not succeed.
Did you ever doubt yourself, though? I mean, a lot of times when people are in this situation, they just start to doubt, you know, whether this was a good idea.
We passed by this kind of feeling, actually, both of us. When we got this this rejection, we were like, yeah, indeed.
So
but
what did
after that,
what
you
kind
need
of
to come back, and you need to kind of like take a little break, 2 seconds, and just, okay, let's go. We can do it. We will find a solution. And we did.
Is that because you're both optimists? I mean, like, what? How did you come to that conclusion together?
By we just like try to, you know, like Idris told you, just find other functionalities, and yeah, we were sure like at one point it will work. But
yeah, so it sounds like you would just continue to regroup and.
Well, actually, what happened is, we just decided at one point, okay, we will release our application, even if it's buggy on iOS, this, we release. Even if Apple doesn't accept us anymore, we will release. And that's what happened. And we went viral automatically.
Well, it also sounds like, not just that, but you, in the most practical terms, you kept on trying to find another way to get in. I mean, in other words, it's don't accept the rejection, just be like, okay, so they said it's this, what can I add that will supposedly give it more use or utility to them, even if that's not part of your vision.
Okay, and actually also I believed really in Apple, they're not open about how the process go into the review process, so you don't know if it's like the same people watch your app, you don't know.
And
we got accepted, like this first version, we like really buggy version, and then we launched it like really frustrated. Like we launched it, I think a month later or something, because our updates were not accepted anymore. But then it got pretty viral, and then now, like when we push an update, they're super fast. So that was nice to see.
And really, it was like one day they just decide like to react, to accept like finally our application without telling us nothing. Our update was now accepted.
You beat them into submission. They were tired of dealing with you.
We had a version that was set up on the platform that was ready to get the Apple analyze, and they took this version and they put it live, like automatically without noticing us. Like they just one day like just revert their mind and they accept our product. Accepted our product.
What do you think happened? Do you think that pressure from media, like you said, you try to be on, you know, I don't know, some radio or getting people to write about you or whatever it might be. Or do you think that you got the right person that day, you know,
Number of download that we got, we were like super viral, like our things was going super nuts, and like they saw like, okay, man,
it has use, it has utility.
It works. Okay. I mean, it works. And I think that's why they decided to revert their things, because now they found it was not useless anymore.
Cool. I want to shift the conversation a little bit just because I want to make sure we cover this. But I'm always really interested in creators. I mean, I consider myself a creator, I haven't done anything awesome like the two of you, but I do like to make things. I like to make things that don't exist yet. I like to see my ideas become reality. But what's interesting about what both of you are doing is it's not simply making something that you hope a lot of people will just buy and, you know, it's not in that type of thing. I mean, most entrepreneurs, they may be passionate about something, but they're generally making something so that, you know, they can make money off of it and maybe sell it or that type of thing. I know for Dries in particular, just from looking at your background and the things that you've made, you know, one of the things you made was something else that was really interesting called, I think, Quick Fix, where people could buy hundreds of likes and followers on Instagram, which is interesting in itself. Yeah. But I don't want to go into that. I mean, I do want to go into it, but for the sake of time, I don't want to go into it. I want to ask you more about what I'm about to ask you. And that is, how did you get into that? And what I mean by that is, have you kind of always been an artist and you just happen to have an interest in technology, or do you have a background in psychology or technology? I mean, how did you get to this place where you were coming up with these ideas and even following through with them?
Yeah. So actually I have a background in electronics. I studied electronics. Then I went to an art school, and that was a really change, like really different kind of school. So I went to an art school and I studied media art. And I was interested in technology. I used a lot of technology in my work. But at the time I was really, also in my family, I don't have any back, my family doesn't have any background in arts. So I was studying there and I was quite frustrated at the time when I was working on stuff, like all my art teachers, and they was like really not done to talk about money at the time. And in my art school, it was like a kind of a taboo to talk about money in an art school. My parents always, they're all independent, they have their own companies, and so I had this background also, and for me it was really, I asked this like a lot to my art teachers, like, how can I make money with this? And that's why I think, then I went, actually when I was studying, I was super frustrated about this, and then I started working for an advertising company, and that was like totally the opposite, like, people always talk about money. How can we make money with this idea and blah, blah, blah. And that was for me really interesting. And I think now where I'm at now, it's like a mix between this. I learned a lot in this advertising agency to make ideas better and to sell them also. And it's like a mix between like this art school, media art school, and the stuff I learned in the advertising.
That's really interesting. That's an interesting background, because you know what I just heard was all of my influences, at least from home, you know, were business oriented and about money, and this is how you do that. But as you know, as you kind of progressed in your life, you know, and the things that you're interested in, even though you had that influence, you were really interested in the artistic side of things, the meaning behind certain things. And so it's sort of like somebody being on the inside and now they become maybe your worst nightmare, or maybe the person who can reveal the most to you, which is, hey, by the way, all this stuff you spend all your time on and obsess about and try to make money off of and whatever, this is what it's really doing for you. This is really what it's really doing to us.
Yeah.
Because it's everything that I've seen and read about you doing very much has a psychological and sociological impact. It has this way of exposing ourselves. That's how I feel when I look at the different projects that you've done. It's cool and relevant in that it's working with something that everybody's using, particularly around social media. But it always exposes something either embarrassing or ugly, or something that we should really think about, you know, and that actually takes me back to the quick fix, which is, you know, I can instantly get all these likes and followers and, you know, on Instagram. Why is that important? Like, why are you even going out of your way to use this machine that will do this thing when ultimately, especially the way that you built it, everything's fake anyways?
Mm-hmm. So I built it because actually on this machine you can buy likes and followers for Instagram. I can also change it to YouTube views or whatever, but actually I made it because you can buy everywhere fake likes and fake followers on the internet, but you don't see it in a physical space. It looks like a kind of small vending machine where you can buy them for a few dollars. You can have 100 likes. You just need to give in your username and then you will get it in a second.
Well, the thing is though, is what you made, the physicality of it, it shows the absurdity of what we're doing, if that makes any sense. And that's what I mean by the things that you're creating, they actually work and they're functional. And they are connected to the things that everybody is doing, but it reveals the absurdity in some cases, like this one, of what we're doing, like how ridiculous that behavior is when that's what I get from something like the quick fix is, okay, here's a machine. It almost looks like something that would be in a bathroom at a truck stop in the U.S., that sells sells condoms.
Yeah, that was
what it looks like.
That was the starting point, also.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, you got it. You got it just right.
Awesome.
And it's just sort of like, that's what I'm doing when I use these services online, so I can pretend to make myself look like this, because if I do that, then it'll stroke my ego. It'll somehow make me more popular or accomplish some other goal. So I think that's really interesting. And David, it sounds like you have somewhat similar interests, except for you are more on the side of being able to technically pull these things off, at least with code.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
I mean, what is your interest? I mean, what has kind of pulled you into wanting to work with Dries and doing projects like this?
But what is interesting me in those kind of projects is, the relation with the public, how public will use my works, how they will try to maybe hack it, or like, you know, or they will try to destroy it. Those kind of things kind of interest me. It's really like the people with the art. This relation that they have, like how they will use it, how they feel about it, and that interests me a lot. That's why I was doing a lot of those. I told you in the beginning of the on the podcast, this interaction with mobile and projection, that was interesting me a lot to see like how people will use my product with how they use it basically. Because two people will not use it the same way, and it's always people can always surprise you, and it's funny.
What have each of you learned about technology, about people from doing these projects after you've seen how people use them? What's inspired you? What have you learned from it? What kind of drives you to do the next thing? And David, maybe you can go first.
For example, for Die With Me, what surprised me a lot is to see people using this application for first time of their life, like getting as low as 15% for the first time of their life. That surprised me a lot, actually, to see that people are so connected to their mobile, and they had like that for the first time of their life, the chance to really disconnect. That was kind of a pleasure for me. To change habit of person, that's also like a kind of a satisfaction.
Actually. Yeah, that's interesting. What about you, Dries?
Oh, for me, I was. We learned actually a lot. I think the thing is that maybe the most important is what we already told is like just continue. Like push through also if you have really difficulties. And for me, it really surprised me how many people tried our app and downloaded it. And and to see how many press we got. And we never pushed anything in. I think the app is now more than a year old. And we never pushed anything in advertising. For me, it was important that, like, that it grows organically. But it took only like one day. So I think the main thing to keep in mind is that push through also. Yeah. Just continue working on and working hard.
What is, or are there any kind of next projects that the two of you are working on together?
We have an update for Die With Me that is, I'm currently working on. I'm speaking with you, but I'm working. I'm programming.
This very second, you're actually programming and speaking with me?
Yeah. I'm working on that update actually, and we want to release next week actually.
Oh wow! So that's kind of a big deal. I didn't know that was happening. So
yes.
Can you tell me any of the features, or is it all top secret until it comes out?
We can discuss. Yeah, we can maybe tell you about this, Dries.
Yes. Yeah, go for it. Don't worry.
It's like, let's decide live right now.
Yeah. First, we will have a big change. You tried the application, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For the moment in the application, you open the app, you choose a username, and you chat. You reopen the app, you choose again a username, and you chat. Now you will have your username. You will open the app for the first time and you will have to register your username, and it will be yours forever.
Okay.
After that, you will have the opportunity to enter a little bio about yourself. And people will also be able to look your bio and also like your person. You will kind of build a reputation actually.
Yeah. Actually, I think we had one interesting update, or one of our last updates, and it was actually like, so now the first update, the first version, you were only use it when you have less than 5%, but one of our latest update is an update where you can pay €5 in the app, around $5, €5, you can pay it in the app, and then you can start using it from 10% instead of 5%.
Okay, I like that. That's actually more practical.
Yeah, and that was an update. And then actually also we do like funny Facebook posts. So for example, on Black Friday, we changed the price that day from €1 to €2. So it was double the price of the app on Black Friday.
Yeah, so it sounds like cards. What is it? Why can't I remember this? Cards from Humanity or Cards? Oh, what is it? It's a crazy game, and I think it's Cards of Humanity or something like that. I'm gonna kick myself later because it's such a well-known thing here. They do crazy things like that, where on Black Friday they're like, yeah, it's three times the cost today.
Oh, sure.
Just for you.
All the way.
Those all sound really good. It sounds like usability updates, things that make it more, sticky in a way. I mean, like, as in I can go in and immediately start using it again, and I can potentially even see the same people who were dying on their phone last time.
And also we will have this, we will be able to certify some person.
Oh, cool.
Like they're like famous, like it's really them.
Verified. Yeah, exactly.
So before we go, have you had anybody tell you about any interesting experiences they've had on the app?
Yeah, David.
I got one interesting experience actually. At the beginning, I was chatting on my application just for fun, and I really, really was chatting with a girl that I met in Amsterdam, and just by the I didn't know it was her, but just the way that she was typing, and I was, I think I know that person. And I really asked her on the chat, like, are you that person? And she was really that person.
That's amazing.
And, it's really anonymous. And it was her name. It was really funky, but just the style that she was writing things. And I was, I'm pretty sure it's her. And I went to Messenger and I asked her, and send me a screenshot about the conversation.
Do you find that the conversations are sped up because you're such limited time?
No, people was a lot surprised about how much time they were able to stay on the application, and their battery not going down. Like, because I really try to maximize optimize the application, because you're on low battery, then you know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying, it seems like you would want to respond quickly. You know, the messaging a lot of times can be asynchronous because, you can just kind of reply at your leisure. In this case, you can't because both of your phones are dying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think we also see more spelling mistakes in that room. People maybe chat at the same speed, but there's much more spelling mistakes.
Yeah.
And what we also see is that people want to know each other. So in the chat room, you're quite anonymous. You don't know who you're talking to. So they share a lot of Instagram names and or Twitter names.
So it's interesting because of the public forum, nature and anonymity. Part of it is that at the end of the day, people still want to make a personal connection with somebody.
Yes, but also like with this kind of anonymous things, we realize that people can be racist. Or like can be racist super easy, actually.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for taking the time to tell me about this and no give me a little background about you and about especially the Die With Me app, which is available now and is getting an update, it sounds like, in a week, which is exciting. And so people need to go download it and drain the battery.
You are on the iOS?
Yes.
Yes. Send me your email. I will include you to the beta version.
Great. Perfect. I will. All right. Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks to you, John.
Thank you, John.